This year is going to be an extension of the last year, which was on chapter Yud Tes, Torah Yud Tes, in the second half of Likutei Moran, Likutei Moran Tanina, where Rabbeinu Zal spoke very strongly against studying philosophy. And Rabbeinu Zal went into a lot of detail in explaining some of the theories of these philosophers and some of their attitudes and everything. And Rabbeinu Zal said that they believe that through chachmas, through wisdom, they can be nichlal in Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal said, we believe that the main concept of being nichlal in Hashem is through tefillah. And Rabbeinu Zal quoted a pasuk, Hu tehiloscha v'hu elekecha, showing that that tefillah is something which is actually one with Hashem. And if a person wants to become one with Hashem, the main etzah for it is tefillah. That was one of the closing items that we had in this chapter on the Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayihi Yodov Emuna Ad Boya Shemesh, that it's through Emuna, which is tefillah, that a person is zeichet to be nichlal in Hashem. That's the tachlis. The tachlis is not trying to understand everything about Hashem. This is what Rabbeinu Zal said. Now, we said last week that we're going to try in this upcoming shir, tonight's shir, to be able to bring as many different places in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal discusses this Torah and clarifies a little bit of what's wrong with this study of philosophy, what kind of damage specifically it does, and the tikkunim that Rabbeinu Zal discussed in this Torah about tefillah and other items, again, to be able to elaborate on exactly what Rabbeinu Zal meant here. And we'll try to go in sequence of the Likutei Halachos quoting some of the places that Rav Nosson Zal discusses this. The first address that we'll discuss is in Likutei Halachos Erech Chaim. In the first, there are three volumes for Erech Chaim. The first volume, the Laws of Nefilas Apayim, Halacha Vav, Ois Tes, the middle of Ois Tes, in that halacha. And we're going to quote specifically the portion that relates to this Torah on Likutei Moran that we're dealing with. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Ki ze yodua, this is known, shehatfilo hi bechinas malchus peh. We're quoting now outside the Likutei Moran. Those that have a Likutei Moran in front of them will not be able to follow this inside. So just try to listen for these pieces to be able to follow what we're going to be saying. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki ze yodua, this is known, shehatfilo hi bechinas malchus peh. Tfilo is called malchus. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, Hashem, sefosai tiftach. Hashem, please open up my lips. And the name of Hashem that's used there is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Adon means ruler, Mount Melech. That's the name of Hashem that's associated with the opening of the lips, with tefillah. Rav Nosson Zal writes, V'ikar shlemus ha-tefillah, and the main shlemus of tefillah is Shemekashrin umiyachdin ha-tefillah la-Hashem yisporach bi-achdus gomor. When a person is able to bind and unify his tefillah with Hashem, to make his tefillah one with Hashem. And Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki mi shezeichel tefillah koroi b'shleimus, because a Jew who zeichet to daven correctly, where his tefillah is 100%, azai ha-tefillah hi achdus poshut im Hashem yisporach. Such a person's tefillah actually becomes one with Hashem. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Hu tehilo secha v'hu elekecha. He is your praise and He is your Hashem. So that it implies that there is a potential for the praise of Hashem to become one with Hashem. So that if I'm speaking the praise of Hashem, that my words can actually become one with Hashem. And we're going to explain in a minute what that means. Kimuva b'divrei Rabbeinu Zal b'makom achar, as is explained in Likutei Moran, in chapter Yud Tes, in Likutei Moran Tanina. Utfilo kozu niskabeles bevadai. And Rav Nosson Zal says, such a tefillah is definitely accepted by Hashem immediately. Bebechinas, not just accepted, but accepted in the level of bebechinas v'hoyot terem yikro v'aniene. Hashem says, when a certain type of person gets up to daven to Hashem, even before he opens up his mouth to speak to Hashem, Hashem answers his tefillah. And on this, we once quoted from the Kisvi Arizal. The Arizal asks a question on one of the sentences that we say in Ashrei. We say, Koroiv Hashem l'chol koirov. Hashem is close to all that will call out to Him. To l'chol koirov, Hashem is close to all those that call to Him. Koirov is present tense. L'choil asher yikra'uhu ve'emes, to all those that will call out to him with truth. Now there seems to be a double contradiction in this sentence. On one hand, it starts off by saying Hashem is close to everyone who calls out to him. Korov Hashem l'chol korov. Hashem is close to all those that call out to him, implying whether they call out to him in truth or not in truth. And then it says l'chol asher yikra'uhu ve'emes. Hashem is close to all those that will call out to him with truth. So contradiction number one is here it says to all, and here it's limiting it only to some. Question number two is there's a change of tense right in the middle of a sentence. Hashem is close to those that are calling to him. Kairav is those that are calling to him. L'chol asher yikra'u ve'emes, and to all those that will call out to him with truth. And the Arizal explains that what this is referring to is it's referring to two different levels of people. Hashem in general, any person that davens to Hashem becomes closer to Hashem through tefillah, so that in actuality Hashem is close to all those that call out to him, to the extent that when a person davens to Hashem, usually Hashem will try to fulfill his tefillah. But the Arizal says there are certain tzaddikim who are zecher that when they daven to Hashem, their tefillah has the most powerful ingredient conceivable in it. What ingredient is that? Emes, truth. Their tefillah is with the epitome of truthfulness, meaning they're very honest in their evaluation of themselves when they stand before Hashem, meaning they don't stand before Hashem with any arrogance, with any feeling like, I'm a big Rebbe, I can daven, I know how to daven real nicely and with kavona and with krechtsing, with all kinds of things. They stand before Hashem with the utmost of simplicity, really, really believing that they're nothing and that tefillah is nothing, and humbling themselves to the greatest degree. This is referred to as the highest degree of emes. And in doing that, David HaMelech says, L'choil, Hashem is close, L'choil asher yikra'uhu ve'emes, to all those that will call out to him in truth. Meaning, let's say now it's 9:15 at night. When am I going to call out to him? At 10 o'clock tonight, in 45 minutes. When is he close to me? Now. Korov Hashem, Hashem is close now. L'choil asher yikra'uhu ve'emes, to those that will call out to him with truth, meaning ver zeicha to this madrega v'hoyo terem yikra'u v'ani aneh. The Torah writes that there does exist a type of person about whom Hashem says that even before he calls out to me, I'm going to do what he needs. Even before he opens his mouth, because whenever he opens his mouth, it's with this emes, with this unusual emes, he's given this extra bracha by Hashem that even before he opens his mouth, Hashem fills his request. Those are the two categories of people that are being discussed in that pasuk, the Arizal says. And this ties in with what Rabbein Azal is saying here.
Is it the Rut sign? Is it the fact that he has the Rut sign and it's fulfilled? Or he doesn't even have any intention? Hashem knows that he needs this sign.
Exactly. If Hashem knows that he needs something, even before he makes the move, because of the fact that when he does daven, he davens with this emes, the Arizal says, which is the highest light possible, Hashem urcho va'amitcho. The pasuk says Hashem is your light and your truth, so that emes is classified as the most all-encompassing type of light possible. Rabbein Azal says the ikar shleimus hatfila is when you make from Torah tefillah. What is Torah? Emes. Torah emes hoisabefihu. So if a person shines an incredible emes into his tefillah, that's the highest degree of tefillah. There's zeicha that even before they daven, Hashem is close to them. When at the present, when they're going to be calling out to him in the future. That's the Chiddush. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, about such a person who's davening in a manner where his tefillah is one with Hashem, about such a person it's written, and his request is certainly, is definitely answered immediately. Rabbein Azal says, then Rav Nosson Zal goes on to explain, and here we come to the punchline. Rav Nosson Zal says that whenever a person's tefillah, whenever a person, avol mi she'ein zeicha she'tia tefillah nechleles bo yisporach, but a person who's not zeicha that his tefillah should be one with Hashem, how? How is he not Seicha? V'ze machmas hamachshavos zarois shebetfilo. This is because of the outside thoughts that the person has while he's davening. Meaning, dahainu, we're referring, zeroing in to the point here. Dahainu pniyos v'gadlos sheyeshloi betfilo seichas v'shalom. This refers to the pniyos, the ulterior motives that a person has, or the gadlos, or the arrogance that a person has with his tefila. Meaning, where a person's davening a certain way because he thinks people are looking at him, or because he wants people to look at him and to see how he's davening with such kavana, or he feels a gadlos in tefila. He feels real great in that he's davening Tashem. Sheze bechinas ano emloich. This person is classified as a person who's saying, I'm king. In other words, he has tremendous respect for himself. He considers himself very highly. Such a person, Rav Nosson Zal says, she'azai mechalek chas v'shalom b'chinas malchus. Then what he's doing is, he's taking this ingredient called malchus, kingdom, kavod, and he's taking it onto himself. V'azai ein niskabel tfilosoi, then his tfila is not accepted, v'loi nismale mishalosoi, and his request is not granted. Rav Nosson Zal continues, why? Al yedei shecholak b'chinas malchus liatzmoy al yedei hapniyos v'hagadlus shehoi loy b'tfilosoi shehu b'chinas anu emloich. Al kein, therefore, tzorech la'asoi is tshuva, person has to do tshuva, v'yashpil es atzmoy, and lower himself, humble himself, and that's the key to having his tefillah answered. That's the key to making his tefillah one with Hashem. This conforms beautifully with what the Arizal says. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch b'shem Gurei Ho Arizal, the young Talmidim, the Talmidim of the Arizal, that the Arizal said that the most important words that a person says before beginning the Shemoneh Esrei is, where a person says, Oizer Dalim, that Hashem helps, Dal means the poorest of the poor. That a person, before he begins to daven the Amidah, the Shemoneh Esrei, which is considered the highest level of tefillah, where he really wants to become one with Hashem, he's going into Atzilus, the only way he can make that tefillah into a success is if he removes the malchus from himself completely. He turns over all the kavod, all the malchus, only to Hashem, and he nullifies himself completely. That's what we mean when we say Hu Tehilascha V'Hu Aleikecha. That's what we mean when we say to make your tefillah one with Hashem. And this corresponds again beautifully with what Rabbeinu Zal writes in Sichas Aran and Chaim Aran, that when does a person know his tefillah is b'shleimus? When he's able to be standing in a room with hundreds of people and not feel any person's presence in the room, not notice whatsoever anybody's presence in the room, not even his own, not even to be able to feel his own existence. That's when he knows his tefillah is one with Hashem, because he's actually been mevatel himself completely. He took away the one thing that could be separating between him and Hashem, which is himself. Any mamoshus of himself, any substance of himself, he dissolved, he eliminated it, he took it out of the picture. That's when his tefillah becomes literally one with Hashem, which is this highest form of tefillah, which is guaranteed to be a complete success. And this is the tachlis that Rabbeinu Zal is talking about in this chapter in Likut Imran, that if you want to talk about reaching big heights in coming close to Hashem, the address is tefillah. The means is bitul, super anova. It's that combination which can lead you to the ultimate level of closeness to Hashem. Not these wisdoms of philosophy, not this other nonsense that people think is going to lead them into godliness, as they would call it. In other words, close to Hashem. It's not that. The thing that could bring a person closest to Hashem is tefillah. How? When you make your tefillah one with Hashem, how can you do that? Only by removing any obstacle that would stand in the way, that would divide it from Hashem. And the key to that is this emes. Just as we spoke in yesterday's shir and the Shabbos shir, we said that before Hashem created the world, all that existed in the world was only Hashem. There was only Hashem. There was only the One. As soon as Hashem opted to make a bria, a creation, then there became two. There became Hashem and the creation. And one of the main purposes in being misakin the Bria, in correcting the creation, is to make the creation become one with Hashem. When a person achieves that, that's when he's gotten to the ultimate, the tachlis. And we said that this is the concept of emes and sheker. Emes is one. The term emes is associated with one. Why? When you want to define anything honestly, you can only say one thing about it. To define this honestly, I must say it's a table. If I say it's a chair or a wall or a ceiling or a piece of gold or a piece of jade, anything else, that's a lie. A lie is many. Truthfulness is only one. So that here again, the concept of Koidem Habriya is a concept of one. It's a concept of emes. The concept of Achar Habriya is a concept of sheker. The minute you have two, you have a potential for sheker. And that's why the Kitrug HaMalochim, when the angels were trying to convince Hashem not to go ahead with the creation of mankind, what was one of their main complaints? Man is going to be false. Man is going to lie. Meaning they were implying to Hashem, how do we know that man is going to lie? Because the minute you go ahead with the creation, the minute you make two, there's room for error. There's room for being able to put the accent on the wrong thing. When there's one, within one, I can't make a mistake. I don't have two choices. It's only once there's two choices that there's room for a sheker. There's room for the Bria, the creation, to start thinking that it's an entity unto itself and not hooked up to Hashem. The whole concept of people being irreligious is a concept where they have taken this Bria and made it a separate entity unto itself, separated from Hashem, which is the biggest joke conceivable. It's ridiculous. It came from Hashem and it is Hashem and everything. So therefore, all of these things tie in together. This concept that the shlemus, the true closeness to Hashem, is only when we take the sheker and bring it to the emes. When we take any concept of two and make it into one, this concept of Hashem and ourselves, blending it together into one. How? By nullifying ourselves completely, by working on ourselves to be able to see to it that at the time of tefillah, not only are we able to negate anyone else's presence in the room at the time, but we're even able to negate our own presence, that I'm not davening for myself at all. I'm davening solely for Hashem and solely to Hashem. I'm not davening with any personal motive involved. It's like Hashem is davening to Hashem. I'm taking the elokus within me, the spirit, spiritualness within me, and that's speaking to Hashem, that's communicating with Hashem, and I'm negating anything and everything other than that. That's this tachlis that Rabbeinu Zal is talking about in this chapter on Likutei Moran. This is one section of Likutei Halachos that clarifies one aspect of this Torah on Likutei Moran. Any questions on this? Okay, we go on to the next piece. The next piece is in the second chelik in Likutei Halachos Ora Chaim, chelik beis, Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, Halacha Vav, Ois Tzadik Hei, paragraph 95. Rav Nosson Zal says, here Rav Nosson Zal is talking about the concept of Odom Arishayin eating from the Eitz Hadas. And Rav Nosson Zal says, "Ki ikar chait odom arishayin hoya beinyan ze shenimshach achar arevus v'hamesikus shel eitz hadas shehu taivas haguf shehu biatzmoi bechinas chochmois chitzayni shel ze ha'olam sheish bohem mesikus hasecho." Rav Nosson Zal starts off by saying that there is a concept. Our understanding of taivos rois, evil desires, is a physical concept. We generally relate it to food, a desire to eat more than we're supposed to, or to women, a desire again to get something that doesn't belong to you. A person's supposed to have one wife to bind himself to one woman, and this taiva for more than one or outside of his own, this is all again taiva saguf. It's gashmiistic, a desire for something that's improper. Rav Nosson Zal here says that there is a concept, and again, we always refer to this as a sweetness. In other words, where the Satan makes this thing tempting, he makes it look very delicious. The food delicious, the women delicious, all of these things, trying to make it look very appetizing. Rav Nosson Zal here says that the main pigam of Odom Arishon was with the fact that he allowed himself to be drawn into the sweetness of the Eitz Hadas, which is a concept of a physical desire, which all of these chachmas chitzonis, all of this philosophical thinking, or any wisdoms that are outside the boundary of the wisdom of Torah, are all part of this mesikus and arevus, which is something that's referred to as taivas haguf. It's a physical desire. It's not mental, it's physical. And Rav Nosson Zal explains, meaning, this type of thinking and this type of knowledge is something that doesn't help a person's future whatsoever. Adarabba, mazik harbe, just the opposite. It does tremendous damage for a person's trying to get into Olam Haba or Gan Eden. Ukimafurish batayra, as is explained in the Chumash, Kamashikosav, the Pasuk says, Vatere hoisha ki toiv hoetz lamachal. Chava saw that this tree, the fruit of this tree, was good to eat. V'chitayvo hi lo einayim, it appeared very beautiful. V'nechmod ho'etz lahaskil, and the fruit of this tree was good for intellect. It was good for wisdom. V'tikach mipiryoi v'toichal, she took from its fruit and ate. Rav Nosson Zal says, "Hainu kanal." This is exactly what we just said. Ki tam haseichel v'tam ho'achilo heim b'chinas achas. This concept of the physical pleasure of eating, the enjoyment that a person gets out of eating something delicious, eating something tasty, is the exact same enjoyment that a person can get from different types of wisdoms, different types of knowledge. Ki sheiresh tam shel hamaychol nimshach me'adas kanal. Because the root for the taste that we feel in food comes from the das, comes from seichel. We say kulam bechachmo asiso. Anything and everything in creation was created with wisdom. So that anything that we find that makes something special, a fruit, an apple, or a piece of cake that makes it tasty, that taste is coming from the wisdom, the chachma that Hashem used to create that item, that caused it to come out in such a way where this has a sweet taste, this has a sour taste, this has a sweet and sour taste, all the different kind of tastes that exist. And Rav Nosson Zal proves in this pasuk that we see that these words are being used interchangeably. This term taivo and chendo, referring to food, the fruit of a tree, and referring to lahaskil, this is seichel. Alkain, therefore, now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'Hashem Yisborach Hizires Odom Shaloi Lechol Me'etz Hadas. Hashem warned Odom Arishon not to eat from the tree of wisdom. Ki b'yom acholcha mimenu mois tomus. Hashem said that on the day that you eat from this tree, you're going to die. Ki zeh ha'maychol einoi mevi chayim hanemshochem e'chochma amitiyas shu b'chinas ha'chochma techaya. This type of knowledge is the opposite of true knowledge. About the knowledge of Torah, the Pasuk says, HaChochmo techaye ba'oleho, that Chochmo gives life to one who attains it. There is a concept of wisdom giving a person life. Rav Nosson Zal says there's a concept of wisdom giving a person death, and we see this literally in the Torah, that the Torah calls that food of the Eitz Hadas, that Hashem said, the day you eat from this, you're going to die. Eating is usually what sustains a person's life. And yet we find that there are foods, there's poison, which when you eat it, eating this kills you. It's contradictory to our normal concept of food giving a person energy and strength. It's just that this kind of bad taste comes from these outside type of wisdoms, which appear sweet at the onset, in the beginning, va'achrisom darchei moves, and their end is only death. The end of these wisdoms leads only to death. They lead away from Hashem, which is a concept of death. Shezeu b'chinas, this is what it means when the pasuk says, ki toiv ho'etz lamaychol, v'chi saivo hu lo'einayim, v'nechmad ho'etz lahaskil. The fruit was good to eat, and it looks good to the eyes, And it's sweet to the intellect, to the mind. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki heim b'china achas, because these three are actually one and the same. Ki ta'am ma'echol shel ho'eitz, v'ta'am ha'seichel ha'nimshach mishum, ha'koel echod, v'kulam heim rak taiva selam hazeh. The physical taste of the fruit of a tree, and the pleasure that the mind feels. In other words, when a person enjoys something they eat, what part of the body enjoys it? The brain. It was the whole concept of taste, the five senses, sight, to see, to hear, to touch, to taste, to smell. these are all hooked into the brain. So the whole sensitivity to taste, the taiva sachilo, the taiva snoshim, all of these taivas that are hooked into these five senses are all hooked into the brain. So Rabbeinu Zal says that this concept of a false sweetness in taiva sachilo, taiva snia, for all of these things, corresponds identically to the false sweetness that exists in some of these types of wisdoms. This philosophical learning that appears sweet and enjoyable and deep on the surface, but really it's the opposite. It's something that leads to death. It leads away from Hashem. The nochosh, the snake, who was the wisest of all the animals, his intellect was a negative intellect. His intellect was an intellect to destroy. He's the one who influenced Adam and Chava to go after this. What were his words to them? Hashem knows that the minute you eat from this tree, your eyes are going to be opened up and you're going to become like Hashem. What was he implying? That there exists this type of wisdom where by tasting from this wisdom, you could merge with Hashem. V'hisem kelekim, you could become one with Hashem. This was the words of the Nochosh to them. Shezehu b'chinas ha-maisa hora ha-nasa tachas Hashem ha-shata b'dayus ha-elu. Rav Nosal says this is the whole catastrophe that's going on now in our generations. Shemispashtim b'chochmas chitzonius. There are people who are spreading this outside wisdom, this philosophical thinking. Shenimshochim mizuamas ha-nochosh, which comes from the filth of the snake. Shehachachomim shalahem mishukoem mikol ha-taiva sheboilam. Those that are teaching this philosophy are steeped in the lowest levels of Gashmias. They're the most wicked, the basest type of individuals when it comes to eating. They're gluttons, or they're people who have the most morbid tastes when it comes to dealing with women, Rahman al-Islam, all of these things. They influence people and they suck them in to try to go after, to be taken in by the sweetness of these false wisdoms. Shehem b'chinas mesikos hamacholim hamazikim. This represents the false sweetness in certain foods, which taste sweet on the outside, but they're actually poisonous. Hameviim misalal, which bring death to the world. She'al zeh nemar, about this, the pasuk says, ki noifes titoifno sifsei zora, the strange lips drip, v'cholak mishemen chiko v'achriso moro kalano. And it appears to be smooth, like oil, but yet its end is bitter than gall. In other words, it has a very, very bitter end to it. The Gemara says this about these outside wisdoms, about philosophy. Here's the punchline. Which wisdom is it that gives life to a person? A wisdom that comes from purity, a wisdom that comes from Hashem, a wisdom where the master of the wisdom is one who has subdued all the Gashmias. He's been machmia the Gashmias for the Ruchnias. He's subdued all his physical base desires because he has this mind control, this total control of the mind, where his body doesn't rule over him in any way. Whereas these characters who are the philosophers, Rav Nosson Zal says, in most cases, are known to be ones who are just the opposite. They're ones who are koruch achar kol hataivos, ones who are taken in by all the physical desires in this world. Just as a person has a desire to eat and other kind of physical desires in the world, this desire that they have for this philosophy is identical. It's a base physical desire. This is why the Nochosh said to them, "V'hiisem kelokim," that if you'll eat from this tree, you'll become like Hashem. What was he referring to? Zem mamish mashem avur b'sifreihem. This is exactly what's written in these philosophy books. Shayidei chochmos shelohem, that through studying this philosophy, yecholin lovo el hatachlis shelohem, you can get to their goal. Shehu lovoy el tachlis chachmos shelahem, which is to get to the peak of philosophical thought, the deepest inner recesses of this wisdom of philosophy. Shehu etzlam, which is by them shenichlal nafsham belekim, whereby they say that your soul, you can actually merge with Hashem. When a person gets to this highest level of thought, he actually becomes one with Hashem, who is the supreme being in terms of thought. Shehu ha-seichel ha-poyal. They refer to Hashem, kaviyochel, as the seichel ha-poyal. The what's a good word for seichel ha-poyal in English? The wisdom that creates like. In other words, kaviyochel, Hashem is the root of all wisdom, where Hashem's wisdom, kulam b'chochmu asisa. The whole concept of creation is something that comes forth, that emanates from the wisdom of Hashem. Creativity, this concept of creative thought. They refer to Hashem Kaviyachal as the epitome of creative thought. Kemuvan b'sifreim, as is explained in their books, ukamayshet soyakim mora alze bekama sforim kedoshim, and as many of the holy sforim scream bitterly about this, kemay b'sefer avodas hakodesh, like in the sefer avodas hakodesh of the chidozal, ubishlo hakodesh, and ukamayshekosum izeh b'likutim ran tanina simed yutes, and as Rabbeinu Zal writes in likutim ran tanina in the chapter that we're discussing now. So what do we see here? That Rav Moshe Zal is pointing out that you should know this concept of philosophy. In other words, when we see people, religious, firm people, or non-firm people, getting involved in this study of philosophy, like, what for? Why would they be doing this? The answer is, Rav Moshe Zal proves from this story, the Eitz Hadas, which was the first example of philosophical thought, that tree of knowledge, of a negative kind of knowledge, refers to philosophy. And there we note the wording that's used about it is that it's mamish a taiva, like taiva sachila. Just like one person, if he sees a nice piece of cake or a delicious piece of steak or something like that, he actually has a desire, a thirst for this, the desire that these B'nai Deya, these people who go in for this philosophy, feel is an identical desire for that. And what's the tachlis, what's the epitome by them? The Vehiyisim Kelikim. The fact that they believe, in their books it's written, that by a person reaching this deepest, these inner recesses of wisdom, of understanding the creation, a person can actually merge with Hashem, who is the base, the origin, the source of this creative thought, the whole concept of creativity in thought. And this is their false belief, whereas in truth, what did Hashem say that eating from that tree leads to? It leads to death. Chochma, true wisdom, is chayim, a chocham. The word chocham is begimatria chayim, which means life. Their wisdoms are the exact opposite. The concept of kol bo'eho lo yeshuvun v'lo yasigun orchois chayim. That's the wording in the pasuk. That all those who enter into this study of philosophy will not return v'lo yasigu orchois chayim, and they will not achieve the path of life. Why? Because their path is called the path of death. So here we see a clear example in the Chumash itself, where the Torah uses this wording, this concept of Yisim Kelikim, how through philosophy they believe that they can merge with Hashem, that this is what can lead them close to Hashem, and the whole concept of it being a physical taiva, like a desire. It looks good, it looks very tasty. So whereas some person likes a piece of chocolate cake, another person likes reading these books that look attractive. They have this attractive look because they mimic, makes believe like it's a real wisdom when it's really not, And Rav Moshe Zal, so in other words, in this manner, Rav Moshe Zal explains some of the concepts that Rabbeinu Zal touched on in this title.
Is this the essence of the Eitz Hadas? Is it a philosophical das? Is it a das? Or is it just a das that's good, but it's above them and they're not supposed to touch?
Definitely not. Here Rav Moshe Zal is implying that the whole concept of this Eitz Hadas, this tree of wisdom, which Hashem said not to eat from, referred to philosophy, philosophical thought, which is something that's toiv vora. It happens to be that within the scope of that knowledge, some of it is true, some of it is valid. Because if you look in the Zohar Kodesh says there's a special mitzvah to get to understand Hashem. And the fact that we say that the Talmud Torah keneged kulam, that the highest mitzvah in the Torah is Talmud Torah, is the study of Torah. Why? Because that's how you get to know about Hashem. So in other words, there is some validity to this concept of ask, of questioning and getting to understand Hashem, but not in the way that they do it. they do it in a treif way, where they mix the good and bad is mixed together. As we're going to explain, we're going to come to another piece of Likutei Halachos now, where again, Rav Nosson Zal is going to highlight the difference. How does a person, what makes a difference between whether a person's quest for knowledge is one that leads him to the highest Masikas, to this mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is the highest mitzvah conceivable, or it constitutes the worst sin conceivable, actual death? Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain that in the next piece, I think, that we're going to be doing. Now we switch to Likutei Halachos Chelek Gimel, Hilcha Shabbos, Halacha Hei, Ois Zayin. We hear Rav Nosson Zal says, Haklal, the rule, the main thing is, Sheikar hu emunas chachomim. The main thing is to believe in chachomim. Lahamin ulehiskarev letzadikim, for a person to believe in and to bring himself close to tzadikim. Sheheim heim hachachomim huamitim. They are the real smart people in this world. Ki kol chachmosam lachshev al tachlisom. Their whole wisdom, the purpose of their whole wisdom is to think about the tachlis, to think about the real future, the final future. Lahachlif ha'olam ha'iver ba'olam kayem lonetzach. To be willing to exchange this world that's like a fleeting, that goes by, you know, very, very quickly, the life in this world, which goes by very, very quickly, for the eternal world, for Olam Haba, to be willing to subdue the physical desires for the spiritual success. Sherak zeh nikra chochma. That's the only thing that constitutes real wisdom. Ukema shekosav, as the Pasuk says, hein yiras Hashem hi chochma. Fear of Hashem, that's the highest wisdom, that's the deepest wisdom that exists. Ukamay Shapir Shurazal, and as the Gemara explains, Hey Loshoin Achas, She'ein Shum Chochmo, Rak Liyira Es Hashem, V'lifroish Mizeh Elam Lagamri. The Gemara says there that the only wisdom is to fear Hashem and to abstain from this world completely, as the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi and other great tzaddikim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi, who said that they didn't want to have any pleasure from this world whatsoever, from the Gashmias. V'im lav kol adam zeicha l'zeh b'shleimus, and if we're forced to admit that not every person is zeicha to this, which person can say that he's on a level to be able to do this, to be able to actually detach himself from all the physicalness of this world, and to live only for Olam Haba, where every thought, word, and action that's done by him is done only for the purpose of the future world, Gan Eden, serving Hashem. Al kol ponim roi loy levate lesatzmoy neged elu hachachomim hoamitim. If a person can't do this himself, the second best choice is to nullify himself, to be mevatel himself, to the chachomim hu amitim, shehem tzadikim amitim, which are the true tzadikim, ulahamin bohem, and to believe in them, ulahiskari valehem be'emes, and to bring himself close to them with real sincerity, bishvil hatachlis, for the sake of the future, of the eternal future, for the eternal goal, ubevada yizke la'achris toiv al yodam, and he'll certainly be zeche to a good end through them. This is the only true wisdom in this world. All other wisdoms in this world are nonsense. Because all of their wisdoms are wisdoms of this world, which is not eternal. It's very temporary. In other words, all of these wisdoms, these seven wisdoms that the Goyim study, the science and the math, all of this is a wisdom that's temporary. Nobody takes any of this wisdom. This wisdom doesn't go past the grave, period. It stops the minute the person passes away, that wisdom terminates. It's of no benefit whatsoever. All of these outside wisdoms of the philosophers who have drifted away to where they've drifted to, hakol hu rak machmas taivos rois. The only reason why they've fallen into these wisdoms is because of their physical desires, their bad desires, umidos rois, and their bad character, shalom has of this world. Ki kulam maleim taivos umidos rois. you'll note that all of these people who are involved in wisdoms of this world are molei taivos rois, they're balei taiva, they're real megushamim, real base kind of people when it comes to physical desires. They go super big on culinary delicacies, they visit the fanciest, these scientists, the super geniuses, what do they make their highlight of their life? The fact that they'll go to the trafest of restaurants, and there they'll study the finest type of food and discuss the differences. This, you see how megusham this person is. You will picture a person like this who's so much into wisdom and knowledge and technology. He's not, you know, why? How would he be impressed with food? How would he be so impressed to put his whole mind, sink his whole mind into the food and make this a whole investigation? This is one of the main projects of the research, to analyze, to delve into the base, the taste of the lowest forms of food, the shrimp and the other garbage that these people eat and do. V'chol chachmeim horishoinim v'achroinim kulam hayu mishukoim ma'oid b'chol ha'tayvois v'hamidois. And all of the original philosophers and the modern day philosophers, these deep thinkers, are all steeped in these taivois and midois rois. B'niuf, adultery, or mamoin and money, they're very much into physical wealth, the kavod and personal arrogance. You know, they show a very big shadiness, v'achila and food, ushtiyah and drink, v'nitzachin and victory. They're very much into coming out right, proving themselves to be right. A lot of them, the minute their theory was proven wrong, right away to the hemlock sauce and gone. Right away commit suicide. The minute their theory was disproven, their life was over. This nitzachin, this super desire for nitzachin, the kintur, and looking to disprove the Torah, this nasty desire to prove Hashem wrong, or to prove the Torah wrong, ki yodua leboki bohem, as is known to those who are knowledgeable in them. Now, you see in this place, and in many other places in the Kotei Halachos, and in the Sefer Machnia Zevim, and Kinas Hashem Tzvokos, that Rav Moshe Zal implies that he definitely read these books, that he knew a lot about these philosophers. He had to know. He writes in Kinas Hashem Tzvokos, you know, that he studied this purely because he knew that somebody has to be able to tell, in other words, people, exactly what, in other words, to be able to know what's in there and to be able to disprove it and smash it to bits, be able to show the ugliness in it, to study their lives and know what these people were like, these Socrates, Yamach Shemoy, and Aristotle, all of these people, to be able to show the world, in other words, why not to go to them for wisdom and knowledge. In other words, as Rav Moshe Zal writes, ki yodua leboki bohem, as is known to those that are very knowledgeable in their right. Now, how would he know about this unless he knew about this stuff? He did some research on it. Umishom bo kol chachmosam, and that's where their whole knowledge comes from. It comes from a base of gashmias. In other words, they're very megushamim, and therefore any theories that they develop, you have to know that it's coming from a person who's steeped in taivos rois and midos rois. Ve'isa b'sifrei kodesh, and it's brought in the Holy Sforim, shegam ma shemechakrim b'chachmasam. Even the fact that some of these philosophers think very deeply, umaydim b'hashoras hanefesh, and they acknowledge a concept of a world to come, a concept whereby when a person dies, it doesn't just disintegrate, but that something takes place afterwards, you would ask why. In other words, why should these people admit in any concept of a hereafter when that's a concept of emunah, you know, which they're the antithesis of it. They're all atheists. They believe only in themselves, you know, etc., etc. Rav Moshe Zal explains now, gam ze machmas taivos. This is also because of their physical base desire that they acknowledge a concept of a future world. Why? Ki chafetzim shiatzlichu bedarkom horo gam achar misosom. Because they want to succeed. They want that those people who are going to perpetuate the study of philosophy, those people that are going to be studying this philosophy after they go, after they drop dead, they want those people, they want this study of philosophy to continue. Why? Kidei she'erav lehem taivoseim bozeh ha'olam. So that they should be able to have a good time while they're in this world. Why? Al kein oimrim, that's why they say, shayidei chakirus chachmosom yatzlichu ayidei zeh gam lanetzach. That's why they say, they admit to a concept of a hereafter, and a concept that how do you get to be a success in the hereafter? Only through knowledge, through this deep philosophical philosophical thought. Why? Kol ki im lav, because if that were not the case, ra lohem ma'id, their life would be very, very bitter. Why? Because mashe ben hayayim lamochar yiplu pegore mesim, if they would have to acknowledge the fact that today or tomorrow, whenever it is, they're going to drop dead, umayi shor mehem, and then what's going to remain from all of this study and out, what's going to be from it? Therefore, if that were the case, their life would be a very bitter one. They wouldn't get any satisfaction of what they're doing, for what they're doing. Therefore, Al-Kain, therefore, Heim Moideh Ba'ashar Sanefesh, they acknowledge a concept of a soul, and this soul being eternal, Va'omrim, but they say that Hatzlocha Sanefesh Lo Netzach Ha'idei Chochmos, that the whole success for the soul is dependent on knowledge, this quest for knowledge. V'hakol, what's the reason for this? Machmas hatayvois v'hamidois rois, because of their physical desires, because they just want to go around in this world having a good time, and they want to enjoy it. And if they would not acknowledge a concept of a hereafter, they'd get depressed over that constantly. You know, it was, so what? I had the biggest steak or whatever I did. So what? How long did it last? And what's going to happen afterward? You know, just the thought of death, of everything coming to a total end, would be very depressing. Therefore, they don't do that. In other words, they even acknowledge a concept of an eternity. Why? V'hakol machmas hatayvois v'amidos rois, sheroitzem lomalis kreisem b'chol hatayvois. All because of the fact that they want to fill their bellies with all the physical tayvois, v'sheyeh lehem shem godoil, and that they should have glory and honor, v'kovoid ben hamalochim, and they should be respected in government. The government should look up to them as being the geniuses of the generation, the ones who will win the Nobel Prize for this invention, the Nobel Prize for this deep philosophical thought. V'yedezeh yatzlichu gam achar misosam. And this is how they're going to perpetuate the success of these philosophers even after their death. That's how they're going to ensure that this thing is going to continue. Avol be'emes, but in truth, Iker hatzlochas hanefesh lachar misa hu kefima shepirei shodom esatzma imitai v'selam azeh. The main success of a soul after death is only dependent on how much the person was able to keep himself apart from enjoying the to abstain from the physical pleasures in this world, not get caught up in that, and rather to involve himself. Va'osak b'tayra, and he was echad b'yisak b'tayra utfilo mitzvah isem ma'isem tovim ukimavura b'simin yutes b'likudem rantanino b'mokam acher. Al kain, therefore, iker hatachlis hatoiv v'hanoim. The main goal, the main good, sweet, final goal is Yisku Hatzadikim Hagdolim. The only ones who'll be zecher to it are the great tzadikim, Shehem Hachachomim Amitim. They're the ones who we classify as the real geniuses, the real smart people in this world. Shehischakmu b'chokma amitis, that they were the ones who developed the real kind of knowledge. Upirshu esatzmo mitai v'selam azeh legamri, and they abstained completely from all the physical base desires of this world. V'shar ha'olam yilehem chelek toiv v'olam haba kol echot k'fima shezocho leheskariv aleihem ulahamin bom v'leilich b'darkeihem. That's the tzadikim. The rest of the world, according to how much we were zeicher to believe in tzaddikim, and to bring ourselves close to tzaddikim, and to attach ourselves to the tzaddikim, and to follow their advice, and to go on their path, that's what's going to determine to what degree we are zeicher to have an olam haba, you know, a hereafter. The Al Kain, and therefore, Be'emes, the Gemara says, Omra Zal, the Gemara says, that what's the final definition in the Gemara Sanhedrin, where it offers a lot of different definitions for Apikairis, which is the word that usually means philosopher or atheist, what's the final definition in the Gemara? The Gemara says, Shahamevaze Talmud Chacham hu Apikairis Shein Olam Haba. That what's the definition of Apikairis? A person who is Mevaze a Talmud Chacham. Why? Because here's the whole punchline. What distinguishes the Talmud Chacham from the atheist, from the Apikoros, from the philosopher? What distinguishes them is that this one realizes that if Chachma is a spiritual thing that comes from Hashem, the only way to be zechet to Chachma Amitis is by being able to abstain completely from the physical temptation, from the wrong kind of temptations, to reserve yourself, to be kuloi kodesh l'Hashem, When you do that, that's the prerequisite for being zeicha to attain any true wisdom. Whereas these shlubs, these philosophers who want to attain wisdom, they have a taiva sayidia, but they're not willing to go through the suffering of abstaining from gashmias mayom hazeh. What does Hashem do for them? They get wisdom. What kind of wisdom? A fake wisdom. This false wisdom of philosophy that appears to be a wisdom, but it's really not. It appears to be a chokhmah, a form of chayim, a form of life, but in actuality it's the opposite. It's a form of death. It's the biggest foolishness. It's the most ridiculous thing conceivable to be delving into wisdom, and wisdom that's like running on like a hamster on a treadmill, running round and round, and what's the end? After they come up with all the answers, what happens then? Who pins a sticker on them saying genius? You know, like what happens? In the grave, they get a sticker that says, you are a genius? You know, it's nothing. No, and even all this glory that's bestowed upon them on this world, these honors, the Nobel Peace Prize, they take it with them to the grave? No. So therefore, their wisdom is a temporary one. It's one that the buck stops here. It stops in the grave and it's all over. Whereas the tzaddikim, who go after the chokhmas ha-Torah and the mitzvahs and tefillah, their wisdom is one which begins, its worthiness is first shown when a person hits the grave, when a person goes into the next world. Therefore, the option is one of two things. Either become a tzaddik yourself, become a super tzaddik yourself, and that's how you'll be zechet to Olam Haba, to all the pleasures of Olam Haba, by abstaining in this world from anything and everything, and being super perfect in that way, through which you obtain the chokhmah amitis, through which you'll be zechet to get into Olam Haba. Or else, if you see that you're not capable of being on such a high level, to at least be mevatel yourself to the ones who are on such a level, the tzaddik emes, Rabbeinu Zal, the other tzaddikim amitim, nullify oneself completely to them, show them the proper respect, and try as much as you possibly can to attach yourself to them, to emulate them, this way you'll get pulled along with them, you'll be nigrar with them, just as the halacha says in Shulchan Aruch, that a kohen is allowed to eat truma. Truma is something that's holy, something that's very special. A kohen is allowed to eat it. The behema of a kohen is also allowed to eat truma. The brother-in-law, the uncle, other people are not allowed to. A friend, the next door neighbor is not allowed to. The behema of the kohen is allowed to. The behema represents a person who has made himself like a behema. He's humbled himself, he nullified himself to these tzaddikim amitim to the point where he's meshamish them. He acts in a super, super humble way. That's how he could be zecha to get to this tachlis, this odom ubehema toshia Hashem. And that's what we said before when it comes to tefillah. The key is the anova. It's the anova that determines how much a person is zecha to get nichlal in the chokhmah mitis. V'hachokhma me'ayin timotze. True wisdom is achieved through ayin. And you see this, these philosophers, 99% of their quest in this world is for kavod. The whole reason why they're doing it is for kavod, acknowledgement, recognition. Any of these guys who loses his recognition right away, to the suicide, to the pills or to the hemlock juices or whatever it is they do to destroy themselves. Because their whole quest is for kavod, that's why they could never get to the chokhmah amiti, which the only way to get to that is through anova.
What's the reason why it's a digam when they're abstaining from the gashmis or helps them achieve? You said that that's the step that helps them achieve chachma, which brings them to the next world.
Right, so because chachma is something spiritual, right? It's understood that in order to attain it, you have to be able to pass this test, whereby Hashem puts a person in this world and marries a spiritual portion and a physical portion. He puts them together. The test is to see which one is going to come out on top. Now go fight it out. The guf, the body of the neshama, go fight it out. Let's see which one's going to become the boss, which one's going to become nichna to the other. If a person is zeicha to be machnia, the guf, where the neshama takes the rule over the guf, it means that by him, he has made the spiritual the most important, right? He's giving the favor, he's favoring the spiritual, the neshama. Therefore, he has access to knowledge, which is a spiritual item, to a concept of a spiritual knowledge. Why? Because within himself, he has subdued the gashmi for the ruchni. You understand? Whereas a person who wants to be physical, he wants to be super physical, super gashmi, and he's looking to attain a wisdom, There's no way in the world he can do it. Elamai, how does Hashem block him? Does he get nothing? No, he's got to get faked out. How does Hashem fake him out? Hashem presents him something that looks like wisdom. It's this philosophical thought. It looks like wisdom, and but it's not. It looks like life, and it's death. It's the exact opposite.
So what about the Rabbanim who made a mistake, and
right.
What the plan is that show that they had a feeling
towards... The answer is 1,000,000,000%. Rabbeinu Zal brings on the Gute Moran that there's tzaddik. There's the Pasuk says, there's a Gemara in Brachos where it says, Al tischar bamareyim. Don't knock... Or don't it either means it's interpreted one of two ways: either don't knock, or don't get too friendly with Rishon. Mareim is Rishon. Don't knock them, don't make fun of them, or don't befriend them in any way. So the Gemara says, how could you say don't knock them if there are psukim that say that you should knock them, you should smash the Rasha? The Gemara says it's talking about two types of tzaddikim. There's and the Gemara proves it from a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, "Kevala rosho tzadik mimenu," as a rosho swallows up one who is more righteous than him. The Gemara darshins, a rosho can swallow up a person who is more righteous than him, but a rosho cannot swallow up a person who is perfectly righteous. Tzadik mimenu boileya. Tzadik gomor enoi boileya. The Gemara says, one who's better than him, he can swallow up. One who is 100% tzadik emes, that he can't swallow. And this is why Rabbeinu Zal brings in Teres Samach Dalet in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, and in other Teres Likutei Moran, as we had in this Teres, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vekom, that the only one who is allowed to enter into this wisdom is the tzaddik emes, who has purified himself 100% b'tzachlis hashleimus, where there's no gashmius in him whatsoever. Li bichol b'kirbi, he knocked out the satan completely 100%. He's the only one who's allowed to enter into this and who's obligated to enter into this. Whereas many other of these chachamim, talmidei chachamim, who entered into this and they weren't as pure, they weren't this incredible, incredible level of purity, they fell. No question about it.
What is the concept of future? So that's what keeps them going.
Right.
How do they have that?
Rabbeinu Zal says that if you study, in other words, I never read these books, so I'm telling you the way Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Moshe Zal presented. It appears that in some of these schools of philosophy, they acknowledge a concept of a body and a soul. They recognize such an item. And they recognize that although the body dissipates in the grave, the soul continues to live. This is a fact in some of these philosophies that are mixed with theology. In other words, where they do have a concept of a belief in Hashem. But their concept is that what determines the level of success of the soul in the future world, it's dependent on how deep the soul is able to delve in wisdom in this world. That's what determines it. Understand? But they don't acknowledge the staying away from Gashmis. Now, where is one of the most fantastic examples in Likutei Halachos of this? Show me the example of the biggest tzaddik and the biggest rasha. That's the answer. Moshe Rabbeinu versus Bilam HaRasha. That's one of the most fantastic drushim in Likutei Halachos. Where Rav Moshe Zal goes into this thing, what's the story with this Bilam lunatic? The Torah says about him, V'yodea das elyoin. He knew Hashem, he knew secrets of Kabbalah, he knew how to be machaven to the 1/8, fraction of a second in the day when Hashem could get angry. How did this jerk get so messed up? How did he get so low to stoop to the... And Rav Nosal says this is where he and Moshe Rabbeinu part. And Rav Nosal proves from Rabbeinu Zal that the word Bilam, the Lamed Beis, stands for the Beis and the Lamed, the Beis of Bereishis, the Lamed of Leini Kol Yisrael. The Ayin of Bilam stands for the Shivim Ponim LaTorah. The Mem stands for the 40 days and 40 nights in which the Torah was given. He represents the epitome of knowledge and wisdom, the power of the Torah. How did he get messed up? This is where he and Moshe Rabbeinu parted ways. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that the only way to be zeichet, to be a success at this wisdom, is by doing away completely with the Gashmias, knocking out the Gashmias. Bilam wanted both. Bilam thought that it was possible to have all of this knowledge and to go on being a Zhlub Megushim, having relations with his donkey and all the other things that the Gemara describes he did. Super Megushim Zhlub, going after Kavod. Rashi and Chumash shows in the whole beginning of Parshas Bullock how, in other words, the way he was answering them when they asked him to come with them, and he was answering, no, only if Hashem lets. But every time he would mix in a word implying, just beg me a little more, raise the stakes, tell me you'll give me more Kavod if I come. He was super thirsty for this kavod and everything. He thought it's possible for both of them to be side by side, to have both. And that was where he, because of that, he went south and Moshe Rabbeinu went north. He went straight down and Moshe Rabbeinu went straight up. The difference is in the Torah Shebaal Peh, in the interpretation, in this concept of being, that the only way to be a success in knowledge, the only one who's authorized to speak deeply in knowledge, is one who has been machnia his yetzara, the Tikkun HaBris specifically. Because we say many times, Tikkun HaBris is the purity of the brain. The droplets come from the brain. The more pogrom a person is in Tikkun HaBris, it has to affect his brain. It has to cloud his way of thought, where he'll make a mistake, where he'll mess up. Whereas the tzaddik emes, Yosef HaTzaddik, who was the one who was able to give the best advice possible in a situation of difficulty. Paro had a situation, 7-year famine, how do you deal with it? Yosef HaTzaddik, the epitome of Tikkun HaBris, he was the one whose mind was perfect. You know, bullseye, he knew exactly how to be able to give advice, how to deal with the situation. And Rabbeinu Zal brings that the whole concept of Eitzah, Kloyos Yoyatzah, that the advice comes from the kidneys, the Gemara says in Brochis, and the kidneys are the organ of the body which ripen the zera in the person. So the whole power of advice, the whole power of Sechel, is totally in Tikkun HaBris, or Tikkun of the Taivos Rois and Midos Rois. The one who's perfected himself in this is the one who's in a position to Torah. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Siluka di Yisayda ad Abba v'Ima, that the effects of Tikkun HaBris are felt in Abba and Ima, Chachma and Bina, that the brain is dependent on how much on the mitzvahs maisius, as Rabbeinu Zal said here.